Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be with you and to be opening up God's Word together. As Tony mentioned before, we're in our last sermon in our Family of God series. We've been thinking about how the gospel shapes the way we think about a whole bunch of different relationships, fathers, mothers, marriage. Today we're going to be thinking about adoption. If you've got a sermon outline, this will help you as we kind of think about this together. We're actually going to be doing a little bit of work, a bit of Bible flipping today, thinking about different parts of the scriptures and how they speak to us about this wonderful truth. And then we're going to finish our time with the passage that Justin just read from Romans chapter 8. But would you join with me in prayer as we ask for God's help to understand his word? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessing and privilege it is to be your people, to meet together as your people, and to live for you. We ask that you would speak to us now, merciful God. Would you help us to know you more deeply? Would you help us to understand the wonderful gift of being adopted into your family? And we pray, Father, that you would enable us to live for you and to love and serve each other in light of what you've revealed in your word. And Lord, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, if someone were to ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian, what would you say? What would you say to the person who asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? I actually want us to spend a little bit of time chatting about this. Maybe turn to the people around you and have a chat, ask them that question. If someone asked, what does it mean to be a Christian, what would you say? But friends, I wonder for you, how easy was it to actually kind of get to the heart of what does it mean to be a Christian? You see, on one level, I feel like a question like this is simple. It's kind of asking you to share, why are you a Christian? Like, what is it about Christianity that draws you in to want to follow Jesus? And yet, on another level, it's actually really hard, isn't it? Because trying to identify the message that's at the heart of the gospel, it's actually really hard, and it's hard because the Bible just speaks of so many different ways in what it means to actually be a Christian. And so there's ways in which the scriptures speak about being a Christian means that you are the object of God's love. Being a Christian means that you are reconciled to God through the work of Jesus. Being a Christian means that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it means being sealed and transformed by God's Spirit. Now, it's interesting because this was the question that actually the reformers in the 16th and 17th centuries, many of the reformers in Europe thought about this big question. What is at the heart of the Christian message? Now, from all the study and searching of the scriptures that they did, it seemed like a lot of them kind of were agreed that there were two kind of key things that were at the heart of the Christian message. The first is what's called justification. That we are made right with God. We have peace with God, not based on what we do, but on the finished work of Jesus. And the second thing that they kind of saw as the core of what it means to be a Christian, well, that's what we're going to be focusing on today. It's what Bible teachers call the doctrine of adoption, of how God adopts us into his family. Now, so central and so important is this idea of adoption that actually one Christian author, J.I. Packer, he says this, and I quote, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship, his prayers, and his whole outlook on life, well, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all." Now, friends, I'm sure for many of us, we've had our own kind of experiences with adoption in one way or another. Perhaps we know someone who's been adopted into a family. Perhaps some of us here have been adopted ourselves or have thought through the process of what it might look like to adopt children who have lost their families. Can I encourage you? You might have received this card from Anglicare as you came in. Anglicare do such a beautiful work in providing foster care for kids who've lost their families. And so you can find out more about how you can support that ministry if you kind of follow the links in this handout. But friends, one of the things I want us to do today together is to let the scriptures, to let the picture of adoption in the scriptures shape the way that we think about this really big topic. And so maybe to start us off in our thinking about this together, it's actually worth clarifying definitions, right? Well, what is the definition of adoption in the Bible? This is one that I kind of found, and I think it's helpful and useful as we think about adoption together. And so it's this: adoption is God's act of choosing unworthy people to be in his family and to enjoy and share all the privileges and blessings involved with that. You see, it's God's act of choosing unworthy people to become part of his family and then sharing all the blessings and privileges that come with being in that family. And so as you think about it, that very concept, there's closeness there, isn't there? There's affection. There's generosity all at the heart of this idea of adoption. And actually, friends, this is what makes Christianity so gloriously unique in comparison to every other religion out there. You see, no one else gets to call the creator and ruler of the universe their father. No one else gets to enjoy the kind of intimacy and closeness to God that Christians experience. And so, friends, as we see this beautiful picture of adoption in the scriptures together, we're going to see that this has been God's plan since the beginning. From beginning to end, God's plan has always been to adopt unworthy sinners and make them his own children. And so today we're going to see God's plan of adoption from creation to new creation. But we're also going to be thinking about how every member of the Trinity, right, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how each of them is actively involved in this amazing work of adoption. And so if you've got your outlines there in front of you, friends, we're at point one now. We are adopted by the Father's choice. And so friends, as we begin thinking about adoption, we're going to see that it actually begins from before the universe begins. If you have your Bibles open, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. We're going to be looking at a few different passages and bringing some key ideas together. But Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. You see, friends, in these opening words of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, he unpacks all of these incredible blessings that Christians get to enjoy because of faith in Jesus. Now, there's so much goodness, so much gold here that we could spend an entire term unpacking each of these blessings. But for our purposes today, friends, did you notice what Paul says there in verse 5? Notice of the way he speaks of adoption. He says that we were predestined for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, this has always been God's awesome plan. Before the world existed, at a time before time, when there was only God, this is what God had decided to be his purpose and his plan for the universe. This is God's plan A. He sees and chooses people before the universe begins, and he chooses to adopt people who are by nature not his children, and yet he makes them his very own sons. Can you see there, friends? Can you see that adoption into God's family is inherently all about God's sovereign choice? You see, there's nothing we do to earn it or deserve it. There's no quality in us that makes God kind of say, yes, I need that person in my family. No, before we can do anything, whether good or evil, God chooses whom he will adopt, and it comes purely by grace. It is God's amazing free gift. And so perhaps you're starting to see, friends, how different God's family is to even our own biological families. I mean, we don't choose who's in our biological families, do we? We don't choose them, they don't choose us. We're kind of born into it. And yet adoption is just so radically different. God intentionally and purposefully predestines you. He chooses you to be part of his divine family. You see, friends, adoption reveals the unbelievable greatness of God's love. Now, friends, as we kind of continue into the story of the Bible, we kind of see that what God plans and chooses before the universe is formed, what God thinks and decides in eternity past, it becomes reality in the created world. And so in the unfolding story of the Bible, we begin to see how God chooses different people. We see it in God's choice of Abraham. Okay, Abraham, who is a man who by nature is not a child of God, and yet he's one who is chosen by God to be the father of many nations. In fact, you could call it that the whole world will know what it means to be part of God's family as they relate to Abraham and his family. And so this kind of develops more strongly with Abraham's descendants, the ancient people of Israel. In fact, Israel kind of becomes something of a prototype of adoption. You see, in Romans chapter 9, kind of verses 4 to 5, Paul tells us that to Israel belongs the adoption. So adoption starts with Israel. That's the first place where we see that language being used in Israel's inclusion into God's family. In Exodus chapter 4, when Moses stands before Pharaoh, asking him to free the Israelite slaves, he quotes God and in calling Israel, my firstborn son. You see, friends, though all the world belongs to God, Israel, ancient Israel, Old Testament Israel, would have a special relationship with God. That they, as a nation, would be God's adopted son. So you see that kind of relationship that was pictured back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of humanity and God living in the garden together, which that has been distorted through sin. And the picture here is that hopefully through Israel, this would be restored to all humanity. Now, friends, at this point, it's worthwhile kind of just pausing and taking a break just to note here how even Israel, even the Old Testament people of Israel, they become a child of God through adoption. Right? Even they are not a child of God by birth. Now, this, I think, seems to contradict a very popular idea out there, even among some Christians, the idea that every human being is born as a child of God, that everyone is born into God's family. Friends, that is not an idea that is actually found in the Bible. You see, since Genesis chapter 3, every single human being is born with a sin infection. We are broken and distorted by sin, which means we are not born into God's family. We're actually born as enemies of God, as those who choose not to submit to the ruler of the universe, but choose to do our own thing. So actually, the picture in the Bible, how do you come into God's family? Well, it's only done as God chooses you and God adopts you as his child. And so, friends, in the Old Testament nation of Israel, we begin to see this rich and beautiful picture of adoption predicted and kind of foreshadowed. You see, as you see the example of Israel, you see that to be adopted is to be intentionally and purposefully chosen by the Father's will. Now, the sad thing is that the rest of the Old Testament kind of tells us that while God chooses Israel to be his adopted son, Israel seems to fail miserably at this. Right? They choose to reject God as their heavenly father. They choose to be rebellious children. And so it seems like this prototype of adoption doesn't quite work with Israel because it doesn't take into account Israel's sick and sinful heart. What we need, as we keep seeing through the scriptures, is a model of adoption that somehow can change the wickedly evil heart of human beings. So this, friends, as we kind of see it, and as the prophets promise that there will be a time where that model of adoption is restored and fixed up, this then leads us to how Jesus comes onto the scene, and Jesus reveals and fulfills the reality of adoption in all of its beauty. Friends, if you're looking along the outline, we're at point two there, adopted in the Son's redemption. Adopted in the Son's redemption. Now you see, as Jesus arrives on the scene, he becomes a model of what true sonship really looks like. You see, in Jesus, we have someone who actually doesn't need to be adopted in, does he? He is a natural son. He is the eternal son of the Father who has been in relationship with God the Father for all eternity. And so as we begin to see the adoption of human beings coming into God's family, we see that it only happens in Jesus. You see, how do we know whether God has chosen us to be one of his family, chosen us to be adopted in? Well, it's about how we respond to Jesus. And so would you turn with me in your Bibles, John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you see there, friends? Who are those who are adopted into God's family? Who are those who belong to God? It's those who receive Jesus, those who believe in his name. I mean, it's incredible because John actually tells us that Jesus' own people, the Jewish people, did not receive him. Those who were considered the firstborn son of God in the Old Testament don't receive him. But instead, it's others who come and receive and accept Jesus. And now they are adopted in, known as children of God. The Apostle Paul seems to kind of unpack this. He kind of keeps showing us this wonderful truth in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, would you turn there with me now? Galatians 4, 4 to 5. This is what Paul says. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Brothers and sisters, can you see it there from Galatians chapter 4? How are outsiders brought into the family of God? Well, it's through the redemption of the Son. In fact, the way Paul kind of describes it, he actually says that the very reason why Jesus was born was for our adoption. You see, the purpose of the incarnation of God the Son taking on flesh and being born as a man, the purpose of the incarnation was our inclusion into the divine family. Or to kind of use C.S. Lewis's words, this is how C.S. Lewis puts this idea. The Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. So that's the beautiful picture we see here. Jesus dying, dealing with the death penalty for our sin. Jesus taking on all of God's anger towards our sin, and he makes adoption possible. You see, the beautiful reality of adoption here is that we go from being enemies of God, being children of wrath and children of the devil, to now becoming sons of God, children of God. It's a beautiful rags to riches kind of story. We become a treasured and beautiful part of the divine family, safe and secure in God's as God's dearly loved children. But friends, the beautiful picture of adoption, it doesn't kind of end here. Actually, Paul kind of keeps fleshing this out. You see, not only are we turned from enemies to sons, but the Bible says we become fellow heirs with Christ. So if you've got Galatians 4 open there in front of you, we just read 4 and 5. Take a look with me at verses 6 and 7. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Brothers and sisters, can you see the picture that Paul paints here? You see, we're not just brought into the family from orphan to adopted son, but we actually gain all the blessings and privileges of Jesus. We become an heir, as someone who inherits everything. Now, I think what's going on here is Paul is actually using the notion of adoption that was common in the Roman world to explain a little bit of the background of what's going on here. And so in the ancient world, in Roman law, it was normal for someone who didn't have children but wanted someone to inherit all that he had and to continue on the family legacy, the family name, it was normal for that person to adopt a male as his son. Now, this adoption was usually done with a young adult, someone in their late teens or early 20s who would kind of continue on in the family business. So it was an adult rather than a child. But the idea was the same. This adopted son would be the one who gains everything that belongs to the father. So you see, that's the picture that Paul paints for us here. That God has so loved us. He has so blessed us that he has adopted us all as those who share in Jesus' inheritance. You see, everything that Jesus enjoys as ruler of the universe, everything that he has, he shares with us. He shares with us, his brothers and sisters in the gospel. You see, our connection to Jesus, our union with him, means that every blessing, every privilege, and every right that belongs to him comes also to us. You see, that is the amazing generosity of God. Adopted not just as a son, but as an heir, as one who inherits everything. And so, friends, we've seen so far that with adoption, it is the father who chooses before the foundations of the world will be his. It is the son who gives his life so that we can be welcomed in and brought into the family. And now the natural question to ask then is, how do we actually experience this? If this is all that God, the Father and the Son, have done to make adoption possible, how is it applied to us? How do I become an adopted child of God? So it brings us now, friends, to our last point. We are adopted through the Spirit's work. You see, adoption becomes our felt reality through the Spirit applying it to us. So would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? This is going to be the last passage we're going to look at together. We're going to work a little bit from Romans 8 as we think about this. Romans 8, starting from verse 14. Romans 8, 14 to 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, friends, in this section of Romans where Paul kind of unpacks the Christian life, he makes this big contrast between the flesh and the spirit to show what governs the Christian life. And so in Paul's thought, it's the Holy Spirit who now works in believers to live a new and different kind of life. And here, Paul ties that to our adoption. You see, we don't live according to the flesh anymore. We don't keep living our old kind of life. Instead, we live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit shows us that we are now sons of God. In fact, did you notice it there, friends? Paul so closely relates the Holy Spirit to this wonderful, beautiful reality of adoption that what does he call the Holy Spirit there? He calls him the Spirit of adoption. You see, as the Spirit makes his home in us, as he dwells in us, the Spirit of adoption testifies to our own spirits that we are now God's children. You see, the Spirit makes us and keeps us conscious of the fact that we are God's sons, God's children through Jesus. And the reality of this now means that we approach and we relate to God as our Heavenly Father. When we pray to God and come to him as Father. It's a beautiful thing because it actually gets reflected in the name of God in the Bible. And so in the Old Testament, what is God's name? He's Yahweh. He reveals himself to Moses and to the people of Israel as I am who I am. He is Yahweh. And yet, what is the name of God in the New Testament? What is the name of God that Jesus gives us to approach him? It's Father. God's name for his people in the New Testament is Heavenly Father. Now, friends, that's not all. Like what the Spirit, the way Paul talks about the role of the Spirit here, he doesn't just convince our hearts that we are now adopted children of God, but he also, Romans 8, 29, he changes us. He works in us. He makes adoption such a glorious reality for us that he transforms us to become like Jesus. can see there, Romans 8:29. He grows us to bear the family likeness. Now, friends, maybe you've seen some of those kind of family portraits where everyone in the family so looks so alike that you could barely tell them apart. Well, that's the work that the Spirit is doing in us. He makes us such sons of God that we are transformed to become like Jesus. And so what Jesus loves becomes our love. What Jesus hates becomes our hate. The Spirit transforms us from the inside out to become more like our elder brother, Christ. And so through the Spirit, adoption is something that we enjoy now, friends. We live out a real and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we grow in order to become more like Christ. But one of the interesting things to notice is that adoption is also spoken of as a future reality in the Bible. Have a look with me, Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 23. Romans 8, 22 to 23. Can you see it there, friends? The way Paul speaks about adoption there. That we and the whole created world are actually waiting for what Paul calls the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You see, it's a kind of now but not yet kind of thing. We've been adopted already, and yet we seem to be waiting for it. We have been welcomed into the family. We are now sons. And yet the beautiful truth is we're still waiting for the full realization of it. We're waiting to go home. You see, this is us being transformed totally and completely to become like Jesus, no longer plagued by sin or sickness or death, but perfect in glory, just like our elder brother, Christ. And so you see, friends, that is the glorious reality of adoption. You see, adoption decided by the Father before time began. Adoption accomplished in the Son's death and resurrection. An adoption applied to us now through the Spirit as we await our full adoption when Jesus returns. The Christian faith from beginning to end is all about God taking us and bringing us into his family and making us his children and heirs. Now, friends, as we finish up our time, both in this sermon thinking about adoption, but also in this whole series of Family of God, I want us now to actually reflect on what this understanding of adoption means in light of all of these truths. Okay, how does living as an adopted child look different for us? Now, I've got two things I want us to think about. One is our relationship with God, and the other is our relationship with each other. And so firstly, when it comes to our relationship with God, friends, adoption means that we have intimacy and certainty in relationship with God. We have intimacy and certainty with God. You see, friends, we of all people have the privilege of knowing God as our Father. Our adoption does not mean that we are second-class citizens in God's family. Maybe you've come across that idea, that really sad idea that natural-born children, well, they're the real members of the family. But if you're adopted in, well, you're kind of a second-class, kind of sub-tier child. Friends, that is not true of God's family. All of us are adopted in. None of us are natural-born children, which means then that God loves us and we share in the intimate relationship with the Creator because of this. And so, friends, the normal Christian experience should be one of deep and close relationship with God. You see, Christianity is not a set of rules to follow, nor is it a set of truths or creeds to memorize. It is a deep and personal relationship with the God who made you and saved you and adopted you into his family. And that intimacy with God then means that you have security. You have certainty that God will never cast you out. You see, because God has chosen you from before the foundations of the world, it means he will never cast you out. One of the messages that psychologists who kind of specialize in looking after children, one of the things that they kind of tell us today is that the family unit is actually so important for a child's physical and psychological well-being. The family unit needs to be one of stability and security. And unsteadiness, instability in the parent-child relationship actually takes its toll on children. that there is deep anxiety, depression, and even stunted development that comes when children grow up in broken homes where the relationship between parent and child is deeply fractured. Brothers and sisters, how wonderful is it that that is not the case for us in God's family? You see, here in God's family, we have absolute stability and security. That we have a Heavenly Father who is entirely wise and good. That we are children who have a position in the family that is permanent and can never be shaken. The very idea of adoption is proof and a guarantee that God will protect and preserve those who are His own. You see, it's a bad father who throws out their child out of the family even when he's provoked. But how wonderful is it that our God is not a bad father, but entirely a good one? You see, friends, adoption means that we have intimacy and security and certainty in our relationship with God. Now, lastly, friends, adoption means that we have humility and holiness in the way we relate to each other. Right? Humility and holiness in the way we relate to each other. You see, friends, because none of us are natural born children of God, because all of us are included only by adoption, by God's choice and God's grace, it means there is no room for pride in the family of God. You see, not one of us can claim to be better than the rest. Not one of us can claim to be worse. All of us are included in the same way by the grace of God. And so it means whether you're married or single, whether you're a father or a mother or not, whatever your station in life, friends, we are all adopted in and brought to be a treasured part of God's family together. And so there can be no pride in God's family. Not one of us deserves to be here any more than the other. And so can I say then that shapes the way we relate to each other. We have humility before each other. We pursue holiness and purity together. We know that God is at work in us, transforming us to become more like Jesus. And so if that's the end goal, then what does it look like for us to pursue that goal together? To live according to our new family code? One Christian writer, Sinclair Ferguson, in his book, The Christian Life, he says it like this. I'm going to end with this quote now. He says this, adoption means that we are not strangers or mere acquaintances. We are brothers and sisters bound by our Heavenly Father's love. Adoption means we are called on to bear with one another's burdens. Adoption means we forgive each other as we have been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. Adoption means we serve sacrificially just as God the Son has served us. And so friends, as we finish up, let's think now deeply about what it looks like for us to live out our adopted life together as a family of God. Let me pray that God would help us in this, friends. Let's pray together. Sovereign Lord, we are so thankful that you are such a merciful and kind God, that you would save us and bring us into your family. Father, thank you that you chose us before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your life so that we might have peace with you and be brought into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that you've sent the Spirit to us, that by your mercy we would know that experience of calling you our Heavenly Father. Lord, would you grant that the reality of our adoption might transform us, growing us in intimacy and love for you and security in our relationship with you. But would you also grow us, Father, to be humble, to be loving, to be faithful as we serve each other? Would you remind us that we are a family in Christ? And would you grant that in all this, Father, we would see the name of our Lord Jesus honored and glorified? And Father, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.